Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Jen. And we are so excited to be bringing you this episode today. We are sitting down with Katrine, and she's a real representative, which is amazing, and a fashion enthusiast.
Can't wait to have this conversation. We know everyone always has so many questions about the RealReal and their commission structure, what sells on the platform, what to send in versus what to try to consignment store, sell yourself, and so many other things. So that's what this episode is all about, guys.
Okay, let's dive in. We'll see you at the table.
First of all, I just want to say that this is probably one of the most exciting episodes that we have done thus far this season.
I would agree. Yes. I feel like we're so legit with like...
Yes. We have someone from the RealReal here. Although she's my rep, I don't know if that really counts, but...
It does. It totally does. I think so. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. And just so everyone knows, even though she's my rep, she had to get approval from the RealReal. So this is a legit thing. They had to go through an approval process and all that fun stuff. So welcome, Katrine, to the episode.
Hello. I am so happy to be here.
Yay. I wish you guys could see her. Like, she's like fabulous. The epitome of what you would expect a RealReal rep to look like.
100%. Oh my gosh. And like, even the background, everything that she's like, she's on point. She's on brand. She's amazing. Yes. Makes me and Daniela feel like trash rats, but that's okay.
Yeah. With her hair up, because Jen just went to go work out and I'm about to go work out after this. So anyways, we want everyone to get to know who you are as a person before we go into the RealReal, because your background is very interesting. So why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself? And how you kind of found yourself move into the fashion space, how you got into the RealReal and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like fashion has always been a part of my life, like ever since I was younger. My family was into fashion. My parents always made sure we were dressed well, right? Mm-hmm. We weren't those kids that were like running around, like wearing whatever we wanted. No, yeah. We had to look good. So that started the influence. My dad was always in a suit going to work, stylish, tie on. So I think from an early age was very inspired. And just really, it was just a part of my life. So I feel like when I went to school, it was like no brainer that I wanted to do something in fashion. So I went to URI. Got a fashion merchandising degree, and I had started working for Nordstrom. Mm. I actually started out in their internship program, which I think still exists to this day, which is a really fun introductory way to get into retail, to get into management, and to really be that kind of stepping stone into that role. So that was fun. And I had gotten thrown into the men's department when I worked there. And I had no idea about anything pertaining to menswear. I only knew about like young women's fashion at the time. So when they threw me in, they said, Katrine, you're going to work in men's suiting. I was like, okay, let's go.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, totally.
Are you going to teach me some stuff? So
yeah, like, I don't know how to fit a suit, but I guess I will take on the challenge. Right. So I did that, worked as a salesperson, worked as an intern, eventually had gotten promoted to be an assistant manager there. Loved it. Fell in love with menswear. Loved suiting. I thought it was such a special personal experience with the with your client, measuring them, doing like custom made suits. It was special. It was fun. You come to really appreciate the construction of fashion, and like, it's just a different aspect than like your fast fashion. Right.
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 At one point I had even like wanted to work in menswear and like have my own menswear store.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Not off the table. Who knows? Could happen down the line.
We definitely don't have anything like that here. So,
right. I know. So who knows? could be a good option down the line. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then you know, there was the store closure of Providence Place.
Such a sad day.
I know, devastating for us at Nordstrom. Devastating. So many good people had worked there for so many years. And then I had transferred and worked at our Natick store for quite a while, 3 years or so, and eventually became the beauty manager there because I'm also super passionate about makeup. So that was a really great role to have. And it taught me a lot about managing people, managing teams. And it just kind of branched me out into all different aspects of like retail and fashion and beauty and how all of those things kind of come together. And eventually I wanted to branch out from working in a department store. Thus led me here.
Love that. And just so people know, Natick to where we live is not that close.
That's far. It is not. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that commute was hard.
Yeah. Hard. Every day, 93, like that's a lot.
The miles that I put on my car, you would not believe.
Oh, I can imagine. So how, first of all, did you know about The RealReal before you went and applied to it? Like, how did that process work for you?
I did, actually. And you know what's really funny is that even before I had applied to this job last year, I had kind of been looking. There was a listing like years ago for a RealReal position, but before the positions were, it was more of like a part-time kind of like gig. It wasn't a full-time position. And I had looked into it. I don't know. I was just like wanting to branch out from working in a department store. I loved what I did. I loved leading a team of people, but I just was like intrigued by that kind of role and the flexibility in it. And and then I had been like, I was one of those people who saw like the RealReal ads on TV. And I was like, that's really cool. I have always grown up thrifting and buying vintage clothes and like from a young age going to like children's used consignment with my mom, you know. And it was fun because you never knew what you were going to find. Like me and my friends would go to Savers in high school with like $20 and find some cool stuff. And it was like the most exciting thing. So I think knowing that this kind of position existed in this company and it being like the luxury and designer level of what it is made it so much more special and like intriguing to me being into fashion. That kind of led me here and led me to be interested in working for The RealReal.
Wow. Can you explain to everyone like what your title is and what that encompasses?
Yeah. So technically I'm a luxury manager. I'm really called a single market luxury manager in Rhode Island because I am the only person here within the market in this territory. So what that means, my role is kind of a concierge in a way, liaison between the consignor and the company and assisting people in consigning their items with us.
And each state has different tiers to this, correct?
Yes. So as I am the only person here in Rhode Island, there's other people that work and do this role in other states, right? So there's bigger territories, there's more people. So in Massachusetts, you're going to have multiple reps in the state, you know, working out of different areas. Same thing. New York, LA, any big cities, they're going to have multiple people doing my job. And then those people as well will work with, there's some people that work strictly with just new consigners. And then there's people that work strictly with repeat consigners. And they kind of specialize in building those relationships. Whereas the special thing about what I do is I get to do both, and I get to keep my people.
Yeah, that's nice.
Indefinitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
We build those relationships.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, because I think that's one of the things, Jen and I were talking about this before we started recording, where I felt like before there wasn't like a consistent, like you got to stay with one person. It was like you constantly bounced around.
Right.
And I love that I have one person I can just call and go to, and I know that like she's staying until she decides to leave me, but if she ever decides to leave.
But it does. It makes a really a big difference, right? Yes. Especially for us who tend to really work a lot, right? With the Real Real. I know that because we are resellers, it is different, right? Then I'm sure that, you know, your typical person that might be just selling here and there, you know, pieces or something, you know, you definitely want to forge that relationship with that person, because these are the people that can bring in tons and tons of inventory and lots of different things. And you want to have that partnership with somebody that you can really trust. You know, because like you said, like half the time we're finding all these like really amazing different pieces. And it's just nice to have somebody where it's like, hey, what do you think about this? Can we do this? You know, asking all those types of questions. It's really a great relationship to have. So it's nice that, you know, Danielle, you've been able to have that now. Because like you said, like the inconsistency, I think before where you build up the rapport with somebody and then you get moved, you know, can be tough sometimes, right?
It can be. Yeah. And you know, not every state has a Real rep. Like this is new for us in Rhode Island to have someone. And I'm sure other states out there as well don't have a rep. But you can always contact the Real directly, correct? And then have them talk to someone that way.
Yes. So, you know, any of these smaller markets, we're still like building out. So we're still hiring people for these kinds of roles that I'm in. This kind of position, working solely with consignors, new and repeat, is something that we're kind of like piloting right now to see if it would work like across the whole spectrum. So in every territory, do we do this rather than kind of pivot between the new and repeat business? So it is something that we're thinking of potentially continuing doing moving forward. But so any areas that don't currently have somebody and there seems to be a demand, we're hiring, right? So we're putting people there to build out the market because we are still a growing company.
I think that's so important to note out there, guys, because I know there was like this big shift in the reselling community where it was like, oh my God, is a Real going to go? Like, are they going to like file for bankruptcy and be done because there was all those moves happening and the CEO is leaving, right? Like, so there's all these components which happen in every large company at some point. And there was always like that uncertainty. So it's nice to hear from someone who works there, like, no, they're growing and they're building out things and they're really trying to fix what they know wasn't working for their people.
Absolutely.
So Jen, would you like to ask the first question? We're going to dive right into the Real here. We have lots of questions.
Yes. Okay. So I know this is going to sound really silly, but just in case we have any listeners that are out there, can you explain to us what is the Real basically? Like what's the elevator pitch, I guess, of the Real, just in case we have some people who are like, I have no idea what this is.
Well, you know, if you go on our website, if you see our commercials, right, we're authenticated luxury consignment, and that is quite literally what we are. There's a little bit more in depth to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, our main goal is to help with sustainability, right, in the circular fashion economy and be that presence in the industry, right? We're making an impact in the environment. And we're just kind of like your larger consignment store, right? That you would have down the street from you, but we do it at a much larger scale and with exclusively, for the most part, high-end designer items. You know, we do take some more contemporary brands, but for the most part, we are high-end luxury, right? Yes. And we service consigners, people who are looking to sell their items with us in doing that, right? So whereas people maybe would just like donate their things, you don't know where they're going. A lot of places where you actually donate things, they're not actually getting circulated, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes those things go to the dump.
Correct.
So we're actually making sure that it goes into other hands, right? And other people will love and appreciate those items.
Oh, see, yeah. I love that. I think that you're so right. Like half the time it's like, I've even noticed this too sometimes when I've consigned locally, right? Because sometimes you can go and consign, they'll take some pieces and then they'll say, well, we don't want this stuff. And I've even seen the transactions where people are like, well, I don't know, I don't want it. So it's like, they just say, okay, well, we'll just take care of it. But I don't know what that means. Like, you know, like take care of it. What does that actually mean? So that's nice to know that you guys have that type of program where you just ensure that it's not just going to go into a dump. Like if there's anything salvageable in here, things that you guys can reuse and that you use sustainability, I think that that is really, really such a perk and such a plus for the RealReal. And on top of that too, with the RealReal, what I think is really nice about it is like, it saves you time, right? So rather than getting in your car, getting all your stuff, making sure, you know, it's like, because there's some consignment stores where it's like, you have to have them on hangers or you don't have to have them on hangers. Mm-hmm. You have to have them like, you know, folded, not folded, certain kind of bags, spending the gas, going back and forth for a place to only take like two pieces. That can be really discouraging for a lot of people. Where it's like this, everything is just like, so much of it can be just be done in your own home, which is really nice.
Exactly. And you know, we set ourselves apart in the industry and with our competitors as far as like service and making it as seamless and as easy as possible, right? So having a rep work with you, I'll come to you, right? I literally, like, I go to Daniela. She says, I have stuff. I go, okay. I go to her.
That's amazing.
I take it.
Yeah.
And she does everything. I don't have to do anything.
That's so nice.
She packages it all and it's a wonderful experience. And I love it. Yes. And I know the other part too, and we'll go into this as we go, as we have some questions related to this, but if something happens to your items as well, this is where having a rep is so important because they really can be that middle person for you, where sometimes we don't have the time to reach out to customer service. We're not getting the answers we want from customer service. Having that third party that works there that can help you is really beneficial. And I recently had an experience, and we can go into it and we can share it later on when we get to the question. But I think that's one of the things about the RealReal that I enjoy and why I still consign with them is that I have this asset now of someone who can help me one-on-one, which is wonderful. And I do see a difference in the way the company is doing their thing, their business, I should say, compared to even like 2 or 3 years ago. Like I'm seeing the improvements. I'm seeing the way that they're changing and shifting and really being mindful. I thought it was great. I don't know if it was last year where they started coming out with pieces where, different people in the community were like sewing vintage pieces and creating like their own pieces out of it. And the RealReal was selling it. Like you can see they're really trying to make their mark in sustainability. Mm-hmm. But I do have a question. I don't know if you have an answer to this.
Yeah.
When items are on that 80% off section on the RealReal, and let's say they never sell, what happens to those pieces? Do they just go back to the person? Like I've never had it happen. So I don't know. Or do they just sit there?
So I know. It's like something you never think of because you're like, it's just a crazy discount. It's a crazy, like seemingly amount of time. So the general thing that we like to tell our consigners is that if it's been a year, right, which is highly unlikely, but if it's been that long, right, where something is getting that highly discounted and it's still not selling, right, for whatever reason, right? We do everything to get it to sell. We have such a large customer base. We ship internationally, but you never know, right? We can never guarantee for sure. But we like to say if it's been a year and your item still hasn't sold, we'll ask you if you want it back. If you don't want it back, we're going to still try to sell it.
Okay.
Indefinitely.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Yes. But it's the reason you want to know that is because it just so rarely would happen that you're
going to say, like, I fully anticipated you saying, well, we go and donate whatever, nothing, you know, doesn't sell.
That's exactly what I thought you would say.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, me too.
Yeah. No, that is it.
Huh. That is interesting. Good to know. Good to know. So what are the benefits of working with the RealReal, whether you're a consumer of it, a regular person that wants to consign stuff, or you're a group like us who are resellers and we obviously want to send you the things that we find?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that, you know, first of all, we're number one in the market, right? I think the fact that we have such a large customer base, as I had mentioned a little bit before, we ship all throughout the US, right? And we do ship internationally too. Now,
I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like at the moment, you can't consign if you're international. So not to say that's not something that we might do down the line, but you can purchase from us internationally.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Mm-hmm. That just widens the spectrum absolutely. Of who can buy your items even more. So we're also very competitive with pricing. And I know sometimes that can be like a hot subject.
Oh, we're going to talk all about pricing. So, don't you worry.
I'm sure we will. But, you know, within the resale market, when you know resale, it all makes sense, right? You mm-hmm. know which items are going to hold their value, which are investment pieces, which are not, right? And we will still try to price it as high as we can, because not only do we want you to make a lot of money, but we want to make money right. too. We get a little bit of that commission too, right? So it wouldn't make sense for us to just like price your items super low, because like we want to make some money off of them as well, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to do our best to price it where it makes the most sense for the type of item, for the current resale value, for the brand, for the condition, everything that plays a role into all of that.
I think you just said the key word where what the market says.
Yes.
And as resellers, we forget this. Like, I feel like if you're just casually selling, you're not necessarily going to think about it in the same way. But as a reseller, you're like, wait, I could sell this myself for $200 and the RealReal is only going to price it at $100 or $150 and I'm only going to make whatever the percentage is. Why am I going to do it? And I think it's so important to remember.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Well, the RealReal does the same market research that you do, if not more in depth.
I'd say not more.
Yeah, they're looking at every click. They're looking at what's trending, not only on their own site, what's trending outside of the site. Like, there's so many different things that they look into.
There's so many facets to comps. It's like, it's not just like, let me see what the last piece sold. Let me see what the highest, you know, amount that it sold. Like, that's not how it's done. There really is a science behind it. And there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And like you said, like, I mean, the RealReal is a company that's like, in the end, they want to sell the product. So they mm-hmm. are going to look and see what is the best price that the market is dictating at this point. That mm-hmm. we also feel that is going to attract the most buyers, you know, to this piece. And so all of that needs to be considered, because stuff sitting is wasting money and wasting space. And that's not what we want. And that's not what a company like the RealReal wants, right? They mm-hmm. want to be constantly turning new inventory and new product, because that's what keeps the lights on. It's like, you know, like having the consistent amount of pieces going through. It's just like when you have stuff in your own closet that you're trying to sell, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's such a misunderstood part of the RealReal. And I don't know, I think it's more so in our community more than mm-hmm. anything, where like people get really upset about what things get priced at. And I always tell people, you need to put it into perspective. How much did you pay for it? What mm-hmm. would you like, what would you honestly get for this piece if you sold it on your own? And how long would it really sit for you? Like, if we're talking about a basic pair of Lafayette 148 black pants, like what do you really think you're going to get for that? You know?
Yeah, no. And you know, you bring up such a great point that I love to mention to people too, is that, you know, they don't always realize everything that goes into that, right? It's like,
I'm just about to say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we're going over, we're looking at a comp for something, but you know, I've had situations, for an example, where a consignor will be upset about the price. Okay, let's go back. Let's see if there's anything we can do. our team will come back to us and say, you know what, we actually can't change the price because that last item that you saw that was sold for that higher price, that sat for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's so like,
you think about,
yes, mm-hmm. that plays a factor into pricing because you don't want your item to sit for that long, mm-hmm. right? If we drop it a little bit, it's going to sell a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's a piece that sold like that because the demand at the time yes. was that, where now mm-hmm. it's like that wool coat that you want to sell in the middle of July might not fetch that price.
Right. Is it trendy? Is it seasonal? Mm-hmm. Is the brand hot right now? The condition of your items play
a huge role. That's a big as well, thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it have a lot of wear? Is it brand new with tags? Where is it at on that spectrum?
Yeah.
All of those things factor into pricing.
Right. And I think that for me, at least when I consign and knowing that the price would be, let's say, less than what I would sell it for, but I also factored in the fact that, like, I'm not really doing anything though. I'm giving it to somebody else to store, mm-hmm. to photograph, to ship, to measure, to do all this kind of stuff. So it's like, you do have to kind of factor that in as well. It's less work for you. So, you know, it's just all these things that you do need to consider as well. And I think a lot of people don't realize that too. It's like, no, someone is doing this job for you and it's a lot of extra steps that they're taking out, you know, for you to sell it. Cause it's like, yes, of course you can sell it for a lot more. Sure. You can do that. You don't think about everything else that goes into it. That's not just price related or item related, right? It's also the labor right. that goes into it.
Right. You know, often people will want to try to sell items on their own and potentially try to make right exactly what they had purchased.
Oh yeah.
Their item. It'll
never happen right? unless you have yeah. a Chanel or Hermes. It's not won't. Happening.
Right. And that's what I tell my consigners too, right? It's the convenience. Like, why are you choosing to consign with us? The convenience aspect. We're mm-hmm. literally taking care of everything for you. We're finding the buyer. We're authenticating it. We're pricing it. We're photographing it, listing it. All you literally have to do is wait to get your commission check at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, absolutely. Well, also the overhead that the Real World has, I wanted to add that in. They're not a small little company like we are. They are a large, large company across the nation. So all those factors go into it, guys. I know we get all upset, but these are the reasons why the pricing is the way that it is.
Right.
Jen, do you want to take the next question? Because I think this will be interesting to hear the Real World's perspective on it.
Things that are sought after.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So, it's kind of a big question, though.
It is a big question.
Let's go.
Kind of, big question.
What kind of items seem to be the most sought after by buyers? You know, I mean, we could probably start with like categories, I would say, would probably be the best way to start. And then obviously, like if you can think of like more specific examples of things, like whether it's like, oh, dresses from this brand we find are really hot or whatever. If you have any of like yeah. those types of examples, that I think our listeners would be very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, on our site, any of our top brands, marquee brands is what we call them, are going to be the most sought after, the best investment pieces, the best value of things to consign as far as if you're talking Chanel, Hermes, Louis Vuitton, right? Dior, any of the top designers for the most part. Handbags do super well on our yeah. site, right? Mm-hmm. Jewelry and watches. Clothing is seasonal, I would say. That can change, right? Can change by what's trending at the moment, what's in style. But for the most part, I would say handbags, jewelry, and watches tend to always can kind of consistently be our top categories of things yeah. to design or to buy.
Yeah.
And that's due to demand, right? It's due to the resale value for those kinds of items.
Mm-hmm.
Something that a lot of people don't know that we sell on the Real Real is unbranded jewelry. Now, that's a huge category for us.
Interesting. Yeah. I know. I did not know that. I would always think like, it would have to be a designer piece or, you know, something on the no. list. So that's interesting.
Yes. So I always tell that to all of my consigners, because if you have jewelry lying around, if you have gold, can be, it has to be 14 karat and up, but if you have gold, you have platinum, if you have palladium and there's no brand, we will take it, right? And we price it based on weight, if there's diamonds. So you can make a lot of money selling
gold. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that I think we always forget, we're so like stuck on like handbags and clothing sometimes that we forget about those smaller categories. Like you said, watches and jewelry, but that does make the most sense. I know me as a buyer, with the RealReal, something that I do mostly buy are my handbags from there. And the reason why I like to buy my handbags from there, as opposed to, and I'll be honest, as opposed to like a Poshmark or eBay or something, is just, there's too many dupes out there. There's too many things that I'm just not sure about when it comes to condition. And I like that. I feel like I have like that sense of confidence with the RealReal when I do decide, I'm like, you know, I want to spend this money and I want to get this handbag. And I know that, that I'm going to get a piece that is in decent condition, or at least I know they're going to describe anything, you know, that isn't, that maybe isn't up to par or would consider it fair condition or something. But I do buy, like I said, my handbags from there. I don't buy them from Poshmark when it comes to luxury bags. I'm too afraid to do it.
and you know, for those high value items too, that they are authenticated, right? Yeah. You know, that they're authenticated, you know, as you're talking about condition, right? You have the choice to buy, do you want something that's more fair condition? Fair condition bags are actually trendy right now, which is amazing. So it's something that people are actually buying because it's kind of like cool to have a beat up bag.
That's so interesting.
I think it was one of the Olsen twins with like the beat up Birkin.
Yeah.
There's an article about it. So, you know, we had said something about it, that there, it's fair condition, but there's high demand for those items. Mm-hmm. But you can choose, right? You have the power to choose. Do I care that this bag has scuffing or a little stain inside or scratching on the hardware? No, I don't. Well, I'm going to get such a great value on this bag that would be maybe thousands of dollars more, but because it has a little bit of wear, I can choose that I want to buy it. But we'll also let you know if something is brand new, right? Or pristine, brand new with tax. So it's really, as a buyer, you have ultimately like all of the choices. It's all in your hands.
Gotcha.
We have an authentication question. Do we want to throw it in now since we just brought it up?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
I mean, we might as well.
Let's do it.
So, authentication.
Yes.
What does the RealReal do in terms of authentication? Like, what does their process look like?
Like, is it in-house? Do you guys go somewhere else? Like, kind of
those kinds. Right. Because we have heard feedback from the community. I have never personally experienced it, so I can't say that I've had an issue in this. I've never experienced it. But there have been people that have experienced something not being authentic and going to them, or question of, I'm not sure if this is actually authentic, and then kind of having that discourse with the RealReal, like, hey, what, this isn't real, or I don't think it's real. Like, so question one, authentication, and then like, what does that process look like afterwards if someone thinks it's not real?
So we employ authenticators across every spectrum. So it's all done in-house in our warehouses. We do also have people that, if you ever want an in-person authentication process, if maybe this has happened to you, unfortunately, whereas it's with us or with, you know, you've purchased a bag
anywhere.
Another option that I'll just mention really quickly is we do offer authentication on the spot in our store locations that have a luxury consignment office. It's called the LCO. And we have experts there to do, you can actually book appointments with experts in the stores to do on the spot authentication. And we do that for like high value handbags, jewelry, watches, any kind of pieces like that. But we do employ, authenticators, from handbag authenticators to gemologists to, you know, people that specialize in Rolexes, people that specialize in, you know, designer sneakers, collectible sneakers, we have a whole collectible category. That's like a side note of another thing that we do sell and do on the side.
I did want to talk about that after, because I feel like it's a category no one talks about.
Yes, because it's not often that we do find those items like in our appointments, and a lot of people don't have many of those items to consign, but it is a category that we do have. But yeah, so we employ all of these people that do the authenticating for us. So you can trust that it is being done in-house. Mm-hmm. We're not like shipping things out elsewhere for it to be done. So it's all part of the RealReal. And then I would say, you know, we do a great job, right? For the most part, we authenticate, you know, we have done, yeah, we've done a great job authenticating bags, authenticating jewelry. In the off chance that that was to happen, where somebody felt as if their item was not authentic, there's many factors that could play into it, right? I know we had talked earlier a little bit about maybe it's an older style. Is it vintage? Does it not have the same hardware that new bags do? Does it not have a serial number because it's a lot, again, a lot older of a bag that may not have that? But just overall, I know that we're working to improve like everything on our back end, right? Through having a new CEO, we're just working to improve everything and to make everything a lot more seamless and go smooth and have people not, you know, have these experiences.
Yeah, I think it's comforting to hear that the authentication is like actual people in your buildings, in your warehouses, in the stores touching the item.
Yes.
Because there's something to be said about being able to touch and see and feel and like take that tiny little, you know, lens and really look into the details. That's what they do. That's what authenticators do. They're looking at the seams. They're looking at the way things are cut and they're really zooming in on that, where when you're using third party, and there are some third parties that I have used and that I trust, but they're not always done in the same way. Right. So that is nice to know that there are people in house that are doing this, and that you can have someone come to you if you're like, hey, or you can go to them and be like, I need you to look at this.
Right. Exactly.
Well, thank you for answering that question, because it's a hot topic. It's always a hot topic in the community. always.
Well, it's funny to me because I don't know. I don't ever have a problem with it. I always am like, no, everything that I'm going to get is real there. Like I said, that's why for me personally, I would rather trust the authenticators than even myself. You know what I mean? Because there's some pretty good dupes that are out there. And like, and of course, there's really bad ones too. Like, you know, if something's like a crazy deal, any platform, you're like, that's definitely suspicious. Number one,
red flag.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no. Thank you for answering that. I think that just gives more confidence to a lot of our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, these people are professionals, right? It's what they do every day. So you would think that they'd be experts at it. And I think they are.
Can I tell you what every reseller like envisions of the RealReal warehouse when they first start? Please, I don't know why this doesn't come from like any sort of place, but every reseller thinks that the warehouse is like this room with people sitting on chairs and like they're opening, like they're dumping the box out and they're sorting through. I don't know why this is the perception that resellers have when they first think of the RealReal, like that it's not like this streamlined thing. You just like, hey, there's this guy that's opening my box up, and so you just, that is literally what most people think. And it's like, they actually have a system put in place. Like, it's not just someone dumping your box out and like looking at each thing.
Yes. Right. There's people that do every single, each bit of the process, right? People that receive your items, authenticate them, photo. There's people that just do the photography. So we really have like every kind of professional to do the entire process for you.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not saying that this has happened or whatever, but like mistakes happen. Things sometimes, you know, can slip through the cracks, whether it's authentication stuff or like I've seen times where it's like they photographed a skirt, but it was actually a cape. Like, you know what I mean? And people just laugh over silly things. Like, it's like it happens. Yeah. It happens in every company and everything else. But it's great, like what you were saying, that like, you know, your company is working hard to just keep improving, keep, you know, finding those like small little things that need to be adjusted or changed or pivot or anything. that is what you're going to find in every single company that's out there. So I'm like, I don't see why anybody should be complaining, because it's like, again, mistakes happen, things happen. So yeah. it's not a big deal.
And that's kind of, you know, that goes back to what, you know, me and Daniela working together, right? Why it's so beneficial to work with a rep is that
absolutely,
if something was to happen in the off chance, like we can work side by side together to make sure it's seamless and mm-hmm. make sure it gets fixed, right? Because like you said, we are such a big company that of course we want everything to be perfect all the time. Of course, things happen, but we're always going to make it right. We always do for the consignor.
You know, I have to say one of my favorite stories that I always remember when with my experience with the Real Real was when I first started, and it was like the first time I was going to send something, I had a dress. It was like I'm going to say it wrong, but it's like the Hervé Léger. Is that how you say it?
Hervé Léger.
Hervé Léger. Look at that. Even worse. Like Hervé Léger dress that I found at the thrift store, but I just didn't know if it was real. You know, and I remember calling my rep at the time there and just being like, have this dress. I found it. I'm like, but I don't know if it's real. And I was like, and I remember her telling me like, it's okay. Send it in. We'll let you know if it's not. But I was so afraid to send in something that I was like, well, I don't want them to think I'm a counterfeiter. Like, you know, I'm just like, I was so afraid to like send it in, but it was so nice. Like they, you know, she was like, it's not a problem. We'll authenticate it for you. Even if you don't know, I even remember writing a note and being like, I'm not sure if this is real. I'm sorry. You know, yeah, it turns out it wasn't real, unfortunately. But I really appreciated that, you know, I didn't feel like a monster for like, you know, and they didn't make me feel like a monster for, you know, sending in.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A fake item is
no. I mean, we don't expect you guys to be the experts. You know what I mean? That's why we have experts. That's the whole point, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No. That was. I always really appreciated that, and I think that that is again what's really nice about having a rep is like someone who can really help you and guide you through a lot of these luxury brands, because a lot of us, you know, we don't see these things in our everyday life. And dealing with these types of items, it's nice to deal with somebody who is an expert who can help you and guide you along the way. Because I know for myself, and I'm sure a lot of people who do resell, luxury can be very intimidating for a lot of people. And I know when I first started, I was even afraid to pick up luxury pieces because I'm like, I don't know what to do with this item, you know, myself. Because I'm like, I don't sell these types of things. I sell mall brands or mid-tier, you know, or, but anything luxury, I don't know what to do. And that's where, for me, the Real Real was really great because you guys made the process so seamless and you didn't make, and you honestly, and you guys weren't snobs about it. That's another thing. Like, you know, it just, your sites were so helpful and so nice and really walked me through the process. And so I really enjoyed, you know, working with the Real Real for a lot of those different aspects.
Can I play devil's advocate? I love doing this. Okay. Let's say I have something that I send in to you and I know that it's authentic because it was my great, great grandmother's and no, I'm being my great grandmother's and not great, great, because that wouldn't make sense, but my great grandmother's, and she bought it on her trip in Europe. And I know that it's hers and it was passed down to me. But I send it in and you guys can't authenticate it. Do you send it back to me? How does that work? Or do you not know? Okay.
No, we would. Yeah. So if for whatever reason we couldn't authenticate it, it can happen sometimes.
I mean, if it's really old, there are, I would imagine sometimes it's very difficult.
Right. So again, if it doesn't have like the proper label that we look for, if it's missing like a tag, you know, there's times people have, I actually just had this happen with a consignor, but you have like an Hermes scarf, right? Says Hermes on it. Okay. But there's no tag. we cannot authenticate that because there's so many like fakes and dupes out there. Mm-hmm. So something like that, even though you may know like to a T, this is real, right? We cannot confidently resell that because that would be bad for our shoppers, right? And our buyers. But if potentially it wasn't for whatever reason, you could tell me and tell me and tell me, but we need to do the proper steps and make sure that we're selling the right thing. So we would, to answer your question, just ship it right back to you.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know.
Listen, I actually had that happen to me, Danielle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Happened to be scarves too. I found two Chanel scarves and don't know. I didn't know anything about it. I sent them in and it was the same thing. They just, it was in a note. It just said unable to authenticate, you know? And so when I asked them, what does that mean? It was just exactly what you just said. It was just like what Katrine just said, where it was like, well, we just couldn't do it because of the age, potentially the age. We just don't have the confidence in giving you an authentication. And I'm like, okay. So I just, they just send them back to me. That's all they did. I still have them. I don't know what to do with them, but I also don't want to donate them because I'm like, what if they are?
Yeah, what if they are real?
Well, that's great to know as a buyer too. You know, going back to that authentication question, it's like if we're sending your stuff back, right? We could easily be like greedy and be like, okay, we're gonna take it because it's a Chanel scarf and we want to sell it, right? We want to make money off of this. But even though this could be, you know, something that we could potentially make money off of, we're still shipping it back to you because we want to authenticate it properly.
Right.
Right.
You want to be as sure as possible. Absolutely. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing all the questions out there that I know people are like have in their heads. Like as we're talking, I'm like, people are absolutely thinking this right now. Okay. Let's, we'll talk about my experience with the damaged piece that just recently happened. And then we'll go into like how to even start with the real world, because not everyone that's listening right now has even done it or has no, like they have no idea where to even start or like what that process looks like. Yes. So we definitely want to talk about that. And that will also be the tiers and the commission structures, as we know everyone has lots and lots of questions on that. So keep listening. That's coming up. Okay. So I had a bag that was brand new with the tags in the dust bag that we put in the bag together and photographed.
We did.
It was 100% intact. There was nothing wrong with it. That went off to the RealReal. And then as they were going through the processing part of it, which by the way, is so much quicker than it has been in the past. It is like within a week or two's time, everything is like up and it's done, which is great. I see that this bag says that it is damaged. And I was like, well, no, it's not. So I immediately am like texting, firing away. Like, what do we do? Like, this was not damaged. We have the photos of it. I have photos of it because I always
keep all my listings. You saw it.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, well, what do we do? Right. So I reach out to customer service and we start that conversation. Unfortunately, weeks go by. And this isn't always my experience, but this time that's what it was. Weeks go by. I still don't hear anything. And it's like this back and forth of, yes, we're pulling it so they can review it, blah, blah, blah. Well, what ends up happening is that piece comes back to me and they never reviewed it. And now I'm angry because I'm getting a damaged piece back. I'm now losing the money and you're not going to pay me out on it. No. This is not how this works. So there was actually, we had text chains going back and forth. You had reached out to your manager as well. Mm-hmm. So like there were multiple parties involved with this. Once your manager got involved, I got an email from whoever the senior people are on the back end that deal with customer service that were like, hey, we know this happened. We're going to get back to you in like in 3 to 5 days time. Bear with us. We'll let you know what the next steps are. So I let 7 days go by because I want to be fair. And I still hadn't heard back. So I reached back out to this individual. I let everyone know what's happening. And then within 2 days after that, I got a response. I got credits to the website multiple times throughout this process, which is great, which I love because I can either source for myself or for the business, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And then they had a resolution. I did not have to send the bag back, which is great for me because I'm going to get it fixed. And then we're going to send that bag right back to the RealReal. We're not going to tell anyone else that though. and they paid me out on it on top of it. So they did do good by it, but because I have a rep and because she was able to get her manager involved, it completely changed the dynamic of the situation. I wasn't just going back and forth with the regular customer service line.
Right. Wait,
so mm-hmm. thank you. Thank you for that.
You are so welcome. And like, that's like at the end of the day, right? Is things happen, right?
Yeah.
You really wish that they didn't. I wish that never happened, but we will make it right, right? We will always be right by you and fix it at the end of the day.
Yeah. I did not anticipate all the credits on top of it, but I'll take it.
Shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye. Please.
I want to know, Daniela, what happened to the bag? Like, what actually happened to it?
So it looks like it was a chain link handle, okay. And it looks like one of the chains snapped.
Oh.
But it's only one chain that snapped.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Did you say that's what happened?
Yeah, it was, so it's like those like plastic chain link.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it had just slit down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, okay. I was like,
yeah, that's all. Like, it wasn't like anything crazy.
Oh, but I was like expecting like a slash or something.
Oh, no. I would have been real mad if that would have happened. You would have been a whole new level of mad.
We can fix this one.
Yeah, this can be fixed.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So what made me the most upset was that the bag was sent back to me and like they had promised a resolution and that hadn't happened. And somewhere along the line, communication got broken down. But again, like this is the first time that that's happened to me. And I've been consigning with The Real Real for 5 years. So I can't like, it's few and far in between.
Right.
It's not a common occurrence. All right, let's get to the good part. This is what everyone wants to know.
Right. Breakdown.
I know, right? Get your pen and paper, guys, okay? We're going to start with number one. We're going to break it down. I want to sell on The Real Real. How do I do that? And what does that process look like?
Well, right, first of all, what do you want to consign? Okay, that's what we always ask first. Is it on our list?
That goddamn list that changes all the time.
Make sure it's on our list, okay? And then from there, how do you want to consign, right? So I am here in Rhode Island now, but there's still people that totally like to ship in things on their own, and that's okay, right? Mm-hmm. What makes sense for you? Are you somebody that you're shipping in one item at a time? You just want a shipping label. You want to pack it up yourself, drop it off at UPS. Do you want the more personal experience of working with a rep and having someone guide you through the process? So those are the two like key, I would say, first starting out factors. How do you want to consign with us?
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that, making sure that you understand exactly how it works. So I always prefer and think that it's best to work with a rep because a lot of people, like I said, if you do like to do it on your own, that's totally fine. But I think being able to fully explain the process, explain the commission and how it works, explain the discounting, offer price estimates, offer you know, that service, right? That one-on-one working side by side with you, working side by side if there's any issues. I think that is the best method. But you have a choice, right? It's always in the consigner's hand with which works best for them. So that would be starting out. And then from there, is it you're wanting to, so let's say, you have one item, okay? Mm-hmm. For a situation like that, you have the option. You could either ship in your item on your own or you can set up something like a virtual appointment where we can go over the process together. Again, I prefer that than people shipping things in on their own. I think that gives you a lot more transparency and I can fully walk you through that process.
Mm-hmm.
For in-home appointments, that in-home touch, we usually ask for like 5 more items. Because we're traveling to you, right?
Makes sense.
We are making that little trip, whether it's 5 minutes away or whether it's an hour away, but we are making that trip to you. So we usually ask for like a little like limit of items. And then how do you want to consign? right? Mm-hmm. What's your purpose for consigning? Is it to make money with us? Is it to, are you just cleaning out your closet? Are you like a reseller like Daniela? What is the reason that you're looking to consign? And that depends on, I could give you an example of somebody just has one watch, right? They're looking to consign with us. It's a really high value piece. Mm-hmm. In a situation like that, are we getting pricing for you and just looking to sell that one item because you want to get rid of that watch, but you want to make sure that you're getting the best price? Or are you somebody with a large closet who just wants to, you would just donate things, but you actually want to consign and sell with us because it makes more sense to make some money off of your item. So that's the next question is, what is your purpose? What's your goal of consigning mm-hmm. with us? What are you hoping to get out of it, right? So you go from there, and then that's when we will decide the best option for you. So that would be the starting off kind of midway into the full consignment process, I would
say. I definitely have questions.
Yeah. Right, Jen, you got your questions first, and then we'll go into the tiers and commission. Go
ahead. Okay. Number one, my first question is the list, right?
Yes.
I know, and I know Daniela knows, that that list is not completely set in stone at times, or at least it wasn't, right? There are some times where you can consign.
Slide a few things
slide in. Slide a few things in there. So my question
is to you. Not when she's in your house, I can tell you that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So just out of curiosity, is that like sometimes depend, like, are you okay? Like as a rep, are you like, okay, yes, I'll let something slide if it's a really great piece? Or is it, how are you guys cracking down more on that now with the Real than before?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So really the list is the source of truth. So if I can't add it into your, if I'm in your house, like when I'm with Daniela, right? And I can't add it.
Can you please take this off my hand? She tells me no.
they will reject it and they will send it back. Okay. If it's a brand that we do not take. There are, however, some exceptions, but you need to work with somebody in order to get those approved. Mm. So those are, so it's any designer on the list. Mm-hmm. Or unbranded fur, we can get approved, but we mm-hmm. only take chinchilla, mink, and sable.
Okay.
So those are things that we could send in, but we don't recommend people just shipping it in on their own because technically we need to get it approved based on like style, type of fur before we ship it in. Mm-hmm. Also special vintage pieces. So those we can get approval for as well. Again, better to work with a rep and have them do that process for you than you ship it in blindly and it get rejected. Because we do have a team of like vintage experts as well mm-hmm. that will say like, this is a really special piece. This is beautiful. Yes, we're going to take it.
I'm so glad you said that because I've been holding onto this vintage dress that is a brand that Princess Diana used to wear, and it's no longer, it's no longer in circulation, and it's been hanging on my rack, and I almost told you last time and I was like, well, I don't know. It's not a brand that it's such an obscure thing that unless you know Princess Diana's fashion history, like you wouldn't know that it's a thing.
That's true. But we might have experts that do. So like
we're gonna add that to the list for the next time.
And then unbranded jewelry that I had mentioned before too. So again, those are things you're still gonna want. You don't necessarily need to get as much approval on like gold and stuff like that because we do generally take all gold. But again, better to just work with somebody and make sure that is the type of gold we can take. It is 14K and up. It is platinum. It is palladium. But there are some things that are not on the list that we can take. But
she's choosing her words very carefully.
No, here. I know. Just because, and the reason why I bring it up. Again, I have not consigned with the Real for almost 2 years now. So I'm a little out of the loop. I'm not going to lie. But I do remember a big topic in the reselling community was like, oh yeah, you can sometimes throw in some stuff that used to be on the list, but now is not on the list. And I think a lot of people get that misinformation. So yeah. I just wanted to, yeah, ask you that question because I don't want people to be thinking that they can send in all the stuff with like, with the back knowledge of thinking, oh yeah, like they'll just take it because so-and-so said that they would take it. You know what I mean? But like, it's, so it's also like not wasting your guys' time and not wasting also the seller's time.
Right. Exactly. And then, you know, it's something that we run into a lot.
I could see somebody, that.
Yes. So like, you know, in our system, I'll get like notified when people are shipping things in within Rhode Island. Right. And I can, if you used to like send things in on your own in the past, you'd be able to create your own packing slip, right?
And yes, add I do items. Remember that. You could like write in some stuff because yeah. I used to do that.
So, yeah. I can see those, right? And I can see sometimes that there's, you can sometimes add in brands that we don't take. Yes. And so this again goes back to like the benefit of working with somebody because that is just creating extra work because you're just, people will just not look at the list and they'll just pack boxes of stuff and just ship it in. But it's like, half of that stuff is just going to get sent right back to you. And I know we try to be proactive and let our consigners know about that. Hey, by the way, like some things you listed are not brand we take. It's just going to get
right back. Sorry, we don't take Target, but you know.
Yeah.
But so you probably tried. It wasn't on the list,
surprised.
But I tried.
You would be surprised.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I do want to ask, what's the craziest thing that you've received or that you've like, can you
look at things that we can't take?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Like something that you can't take where you're like, oh no, sorry. We can't take that for sure.
I would just say any like, you know, like activewear kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
people try sending that in. Interesting.
Like Nike, Adidas, Lululemon.
I could see Lululemon people trying to send that in. I could see that.
Yeah. I would say, for the most part, some things like that.
Yeah. They're like really old and like, you're like, no. Yeah. Okay. Very nice.
Not on the list.
Oh my God. But I do think it's good that if there isn't something that's on the list, but it is special and everyone realizes that it's special.
Get it approved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this is where the collectible conversation kind of come in too, because with collectibles, I know it's like trading cards, but they have to be graded. There's all those types of things in there. But I think it's good to know that there are places besides pawn shops and all these other online collectible type of websites that you can go to. The RealReal does offer it as long as it comes with the standards that they need with those pieces.
Yes.
What about like... I know you said jewelry, but when it comes to like silver, like housewares, I know there's a market for that in the RealReal as well. When it comes to sending that kind of stuff in, what do people need to look for that?
So we did take a lot more houseware items. So we did take flatware, we did take silver, we did take stemware, surfware. We don't any longer.
Oh, okay.
So not any like baccarat, like crystal glasses. We did take those and they did sell, but I think there's not enough of a market for those pieces, or at least right now.
Right.
We are still taking some housewares, such as I've sent in more like decor based items. So
okay.
I've sent in like silver picture frames or like silver like decorative dishes for people or
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Like, Hermes pillows and blankets. And so that's kind of much more where we're shifting. Whereas like at one point we were literally taking furniture and we're taking like couches and chairs and stuff like that.
Were you like having to go to people's houses and like picking up couches? I'm just kidding.
That was before my time. But I do know that they had like, so we do have like a van service.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we can offer in those situations. If something's like that oversized.
I like, Katrine, I have one thing for you, but it's a couch. Can you come get it?
Can you please come and put it in your car? Yeah. I'm going to attach it to the roof for you. Yeah. It'll be just fine.
It's not going to fit in my Corolla.
All right. So now this is the part that everyone wants, right?
Yes.
When you start off the Real, you are on certain tiers with certain commission structure. And then as you grow on the Real, you end up in different tiers and commission structure. Can we break it down for the people? Because it is now changed quite a bit.
I will fully walk you through it.
She has a, she's ready to go with things in front of her because
we're ready to go. Okay. Well, give me one second. I want to make sure I give you everything to a T.
Well, it's a very common and confusing part of the Real that even I get confused on sometimes.
I think so. And the fact that it's like changed over the years.
It's especially changed over the last, I'd say like six. Has it been about 6 months now that it's changed significantly?
It's been since I think we had swapped it over in last November.
Yeah.
Officially. So, basically how it works and how they had changed it is now the commission structure, whereas it used to be, there was like three levels in the past, right? It was, you were, the base level was 55%, then you would jump up to 60, and then a VIP was like always 70, right?
Yep.
The thing with that, and in some cases for some people, it was beneficial, right? But now we've broken it down by even more so by category and by price range. Whereas even if you start out consigning with us, you have a lot more ability to make more in commission. Whereas in the past, it was just like 55% when you started consigning, and that's really all you could get.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're trying to reward people more on sending in high value investment pieces and, spend more money rewarding those people that are sending in those kinds of items that are priced higher. So that's kind of where it has shifted a little bit. So whenever you start consigning with us, you always start out at our base level. That's always going to be our trendsetter level. Now that is sales under $1,499, so $1,499. Now, if you were to exceed $1,500 in sales, you bump up to our influencer level. You get an extra 1% commission, and you're at that level until you sell right under $5,000. And that's right at $4,999. So if you were to exceed 5,000, you become a tastemaker, you get an extra 2% commission. And this is on all things over 5,000 and right under 10. So right at $9,999. And then over 10,000 now is where you hit our VIP status. And so instead of it being that like set 70, it's an extra 5%. And these extra percentages are on all things that are over $200, right? So one of the hot topics has always been about that under 200 category, right? Where even back in the day with our old structure, it was still always less than 15%, right? So that category, is all things under 200 falls from 200 is 55, and then it goes from 45 to 30 all the way to 20. And the reasoning for that, which it kind of, as I had said before, it's kind of always been lesser, but it's to kind of move away from consigning those items, right? Mm-hmm. We want to focus and reward the people that are sending in those more high value pieces.
Got it.
Now,
mm-hmm.
key category for us right now that we see that most things are getting priced within, most consigners are sending in, is within that 200 to right under 750. So 749 category is where it's hot, right? So if you're at our base level, that's going to be between 55 and 60% commission on those items. And then commission also changes based on the type of item too. So a lot of people don't realize that as well, is that it fluctuates. So there's a clothing and more category, there's a handbag category, there's a branded fine jewelry, watches, and men's sneakers and collectibles has its own category too. And this new commission guide that we have is really great because it's interactive. And when you click into the different categories and different levels, you can see that the commission changes.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I still don't always love the commission structure, but it is what it is. It's a business thing. I get it. but I will say, and we kind of briefly touched on this when we first started recording, the shoes and the handbags are really bringing in the money for me more so than the clothes. It's really not the clothes. It's those types of pieces that I even shop for on the Real Real. Like when I'm on the Real Real, I'm looking at blazers, I'm looking at coats, and I'm looking at
handbags and shoes.
Those are the, those are the categories that I'm looking at. So it doesn't surprise me that those pieces that I'm sending in is where I'm getting my bigger return. And the extra 5%, I'm not going to lie, is great right now. I love it.
I know.
Will I stay at that, you know, VIP level? Probably not, because I don't know if I'm going to hit 10 grand this year. I'm going to try really, really hard, but I see myself being in that tastemaker level, and it's still good. It's still a good place to be.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you touched on that extra 5%, and the reason that we've been running these promos within that category is because we want to reward our consigners that are sending things that fall within those price ranges, because that 200 to 749, that's the sweet spot, right? So if we can give you a little extra, because right now it's 60 or 65, it gives a little boost and it does make a little difference in your cash.
It does. It does. And my payouts, and I've openly said this before within our Patreon group and to anyone who's asked me, my payouts the last 3 months since I started sending things back in have been great. Like they're amounts that I hadn't seen in a long time in the Real Real. And yes, they have promotions going on, so that was helpful. The things that I sent in have been getting priced higher. So yes, that is 100% true. Everything is getting priced much higher and it's selling at the higher price point. What I like about what they've done, even though I was really angry when it first happened, I'm not going to lie, I was like, this sucks. Like this is never going to work for me. Yeah, I was real mad. but I like that the Real Real is going back to its roots, because it kind of lost its way a little bit over the last few years. And they were accepting so many different things that weren't on the list. And I feel like they got bombarded with a bunch of things. It was just, it was becoming like an everything place. And that's not what the Real Real stands for. So it's nice.
It's a good point. Yeah. To focus on that luxury. Cause you're right. Like a lot of people were sending in, like you said, things not on the list where it was like, okay. And then you had a lot of pieces there, you know, that were like $20, $25 or something, you know, and it's like, it's not really what you think of when you're thinking of luxury, let's be honest, you know? So it is trying to get back to right to the where your brand should be and where the brand needs to focus. Right.
Right. And part of doing that too is, in a way, we're trying to like train our consigners, like just as Daniela was just saying, like she now knows like the brands, like what are the categories, what are the things that are going to be priced well. And we're trying to train people to invest in luxury, right? Because they hold their value.
Yeah.
So purchasing and buying investment pieces are it's the best thing that you can do for yourself if you know that you want to resell them down the line. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the movement that's happening right now, like in whether it's in the fashion world in general, quiet luxury. I mean, if you look it up, it's everywhere. It's what everyone wants. And
I see it all the time. Yes. That whole old money versus old new money. Yes. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God.
But that is where having a site like the Real Real is great, because those understated pieces you can actually get on that website for a really good price. So like I've started my Max Mara collection because of the Real Real, because I've found really great deals. And that to me, like that's quiet luxury for me. Like those types of pieces, they're classic. They last a long time. The resale value may not be good on Poshmark and eBay, but is great on platforms like the Real Real. And
there's the audience is there.
Correct.
That's where the audience is, you know? So no, and that actually, that does make a lot of sense. So yeah, you can, like you said, you can build up your wardrobe, your fancy wardrobe.
Exactly. Before we let you go, because we've kept you here way too long, but
no problem.
Where do you see the company going, or where do you see yourself going within the company in the next few years? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So again, like the main focus of what we're doing right now is, you know, we're trying to become profitable at the end of the day. We're trying to become an expert, right? We're trying to streamline our processes. We're trying to make everything as smooth and seamless as possible. That is the goal, right? And we're trying to make it a focus about luxury, like you said, kind of go back to our roots and make sure that we're standing for those designer brands and we're truly luxury consignment, and we can offer the best services to our consignors in whichever way that is. So I think where I would see myself is I would hopefully continue to be within this role. I mean, I love being consignor facing and I love working with people directly. But I think we're going to try to, you know, streamline how we are with our reps too, as far as like working with our consignors and maybe having more of that like one-on-one experience and having people stick around a little bit longer. But that's what I think is going to be happening down the line, accepting more designers and just continuing to improve upon what we're already doing.
No, that's awesome. And I have to say, you know, if you are a reseller and, you know, you're listening to this, honestly, using the RealReal's list of vendors that they take is such a great tool for you while you're out there thrifting. I've learned so many new brands. I remember I used to study that list. I used to go in and I would say like, okay, let me look at all the A's and be like, I don't know that brand. Let me look up that brand. And I would look up that brand, would try to see what the tag looked like and everything. Cause it's a good place to start learning more luxury and luxury that you might not even know about or hear, have heard about, you know? So definitely like a great tool. I just wanted to say that too, you know, for our listeners as well. It's super helpful to have.
And your breakdown of the structures and the commissions and the process. And I think that like insider part of the RealReal is really helpful. And I'm sure many people listening really appreciate it because there's always this like unknown or this fear or a little bit of anger, I guess, because things have changed and they've shifted. But I mean, it's a business and that's how it's going to be. And you either keep up with it and you learn how to play the game or you don't, you bow out and you do what you have to do for yourself. But I can say personally, I have seen the positive changes. I have had to change the way that I do things when it comes to selling, and if that's fine, we do the same thing in our own reselling businesses. The experiences have been positive and resolutions have been met. And I really can't say anything badly, you know, like I know people are waiting to hear, like, amazing. There's some kind of tea. There's not. There's not.
I do have one question though. I want to know, Katrine, I want to know the craziest thing that you've ever consigned. Like, have you ever had something where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm touching this or something. Like, do you have like a story like that? Like,
yeah,
I
want to does.
What's the craziest thing that you've ever consigned or that you've picked up from somebody?
So I can't obviously like disclose any information, but I can tell you.
You tell like, a brand, just a brand then.
So, I mean, it was early on when I had started working, like end of last year, and it was a watch that was priced at over $20,000. And at that point, like this, I had just started doing this job. So I was still like seeing these very like high value pieces and like touching them and like interacting with the people that have them. So I was like, it was very soon into when I started and I was like, how does somebody even acquire?
How does one do this?
Yeah. I'd be like, this can't go in my car. I need to find an armored vehicle.
I know, but I mean, that was incredible. And I was like, just wowed. But there is that luxury out there and there is that luxury out there. In Rhode Island too. A lot of people don't realize it, but understated.
It's there. That's cool. That's
really cool. Why your thrifting is good in New England. Like people forget that.
Thrifting is so good in New England. No, seriously, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that because I'm like, she's gotta have something where you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was good. Or I mean, any like Chanel handbags too. Anytime I see them or get those to send in.
Or a Birkin for that matter.
Just Hermes. Yes. Just, I mean, I die when I see them because I love fashion. Like this bag is so beautiful.
I'd be the worst rep. I'd be like, I would be like, oh yeah, this is a great bag. And inside I'd be like, ah! Like screaming. I'm like, oh my God.
I am like the worst when it comes to things being so cute because I'm like, this is so cute. Oh my God. And then like my consigners will like second guess themselves. They're like, wait, should I be designing this? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
you totally let your Rhode Island girl out just there.
Like, yes.
My God.
I know. I let it slip sometimes.
It's okay. We can't help it. It's just who we are.
I know. It's in my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for this conversation and for joining us for way too long.
No, it was lovely.
People will love this. If you guys have not reached out to a Real Real rep, please do so. As you can tell from this conversation, it's very helpful. And it's just nice to have a buddy that works in the Real Real that you can kind of work with. If you had a negative experience with the Real Real and you're feeling like maybe I can kind of get back into it, this is sounding really positive, do it. What's the worst that can happen? If you don't like the experience again, just recall those items back.
Get your stuff back. Yeah.
And you'll be good to go. And I hope this was helpful to everyone. And we will be back next week. I can't believe we're doing this. We're doing summer trends, which is like mind-blowing to me that we're already going to be talking about. Like, I know it's already happened on the runway, but like we're already focusing on summer trends. And fall is going to be here within like 2 months' time of trends that we're going to be listening to you guys. But it is. I mean, they're already working on spring on the runway.
So. I know.
So we'll be back next week. To chat with you guys. Bye, everyone.
Bye.